Morning. Boker Tov, Shkoyah Chaburi. Today's daf is the Durm daf Lamed Zayin. The Durm Lamed Zayin. We left off Lamed Vav on the base, five lines up from the bottom of the page, by the two dots. Melamde Medrash, Halachas Bagadas, Avalei Lamdei Mikra. If a person is mudra enough from his friends, let's say Ruvain cannot give Hanat to Shimon, Shimon cannot benefit from Ruvain. We said in the Mishnah that Ruvain can still teach Medrash, Halachas, and Agadas, but not Mikra. Ask the Gemara. Why can he not teach him Mikra? Obviously, because teaching him Mikra is giving him Anah. So Reuven can't teach Shimon Mikra because he's giving Anah. Well, guess what? Medrash not become Anah. If that's the case, Medrash also should be Aser. He's being Mahanim as well. What is the Chilik? Says the Gemara. Amar Shmuel, but Makam Shinel Nischala Mikra, Veinel Nischala Medrash. Meaning, we pointed out in the Mishnah already that mitzvahs of Hanis Tenu, and therefore the Torah itself can't be the issue. Teaching the Torah is not the problem. There's a discussion whether mitzvah of Hanis Tenu applies by Talmud Torah, but we'll leave that, let's put that pause for now. But the round of the Mishnah learned mitzvah of Hanis Tenu, and therefore teaching the Torah itself is not an issue. But must be, we're saying that for some reason, when you teach Mikra, it's Aser, because there is some sort of Anah. Then why would Medrash be different? How are you splitting up Mikra and Medrash? What is the Chilik? Shmuel says the Chilik is whether you take payment for teaching, which is, again, going to be a topic that comes up over here, and a couple of in today's daf, and again, a couple of from now, whether or not you're allowed to take money for teaching Torah. So Shmuel says in a place where they take Schar for Mikra, that's why our Mishnah says Mikra is Aser. And a place when they don't take Schar for Medrash, that's why Medrash is Mutter. Now, that's a very funny way of writing a Mishnah. You write a Mishnah that it's Mutter for the Mutter Anah to teach Medrash, but not Mikra. Well, that's because the minig over there was to pay for Mikra and not pay for Medrash. If it would be the opposite minig, then the opposite of Mutter. Why would the Mishnah set it up in a way that's really just depending on what the minig is? So Mark explains, my Paska, why would the Mishnah give such an unequivocal statement? That this is the distinction. This is a chilik. Why makes such a chilik and say by mikra it's aser and by medrash it's mutter? Maybe opposite. The Mark explains how kamashma da feel makom shenayin l'schar ala mikra shari l'mishkel ala medrash leishar. Sorry, I feel makom shenayin l'schar ala mikra shari l'mishkel ala medrash leishar l'mishkel. When it comes to taking schar for teaching Torah, for medrash one is not allowed to take schar. For mikra one can't take schar. So the Mishnah, the setup is beautiful. The reason why the Mishnah says that when a mudra anah cannot teach mikra and can, yes, teach Medrash, is because the Mishnah is really teaching us is, when it comes to taking Schar for teaching Torah, for Mikra one can, yes, take Schar. For Medrash, one cannot take Schar. What's the difference? Maishta Medrash loy, why Medrash cannot take Schar? Siv Aisiv Hashem Meisahi, Lam Neschem. The Pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Hashem commanded me at that time to teach you Torah. Uchsiv, Reinamati Yaschem Chukum Mishpatim, Kashativan Hashem. See that I'm teaching you Torah, Chukum Mishpatim, like Hashem commanded me. We darshan, Mani Bechinam, Afatam Bechinam, Nam Bechinam. So just like I teach Torah for free, it's actually Machlok to show you what that means, Mani Bechinam. Just like, is Moshe Rabbeinu saying, just like Hashem taught it to me for free, Moshe, I teach it to you guys for free, and so on and so forth down the chain? Or was Moshe Rabbeinu saying, just like I taught it to you for free, which the Shadim say, how do you know Moshe taught it so for free? Because he is a man of means, doesn't make sense, they take money for it, okay? But just like Moshe Rabbeinu says, I taught it to you, Klai Yisrael, for free, you have to teach it further for free. So again, what the Mani Vechinam was it Moshe's learning from Hashem, or was it Moshe teaching Klai Yisrael? By the way, the message is still the same, that Torah must be transmitted Vechinam. So Mikronami, Mani Vechinam, Afatam Vechinam, so that's the source that Torah has to be taught for free. So ask the Gemara, so Mikronami Vechinam, if that's the source, so why could Mikra be taught for pay? So we understand the source that Medrash cannot be taught for pay. It has to be free because of Mani Bechinam. But why did that source not apply to Mikra? The Gemara says famously, two answers, Rav Amar Schar Shimer, it's babysitting fee. You're right. The Rebbe is not taking money for teaching Torah. The Rebbe is taking money for babysitting. Rav Amar Schar piece of time. Mikra says, no, it's a schar. You're taking for a piece of time for teaching the truck. The Gemara at this point, the Rav points out, the Gemara at this point feels that truck, that piece of time is Durabanan, is not the Raisa. Had it been derisive, it's part of the Torah. Then you can't take money. Since the Trump is Drabbanan, therefore you can take money for it. That's the Mara's assumption right now. The Mara will fall off that on our base. But the Mara's assumption right now is that a piece of time is Drabbanan, and therefore you can take money for a piece of time. The first answer is take money for babysitting. Ron right away points out, use nafkamina. If it's for babysitting, you can only take money for teaching children. You don't babysit an adult. If it's for piece of time, you can take money for teaching an adult or for teaching a child delight. Doesn't make a difference. As long as you're teaching piece of time, you can take money. But if it's for babysitting, it wouldn't make sense. Buy an adult. Okay, so we're saying that for mikro, one can take money, but only for these excuses, because there is a schar shimer, a schar for babysitting or piece of time, Medrash doesn't have that, and other facets of Lima don't have that, and therefore you cannot take money. And that's why Mishnah set it up that a Mudra Anah can still teach Medrash and other Limudim, because you can't take money for it anyway. So something you can't take money for is not considered like giving Anah for free, whereas by Mikra, which you can take money for, is considered like giving Anah for free, and therefore it's going to be problematic if one was Mudra Anah. Now, Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish Chaf Aleph brings that if one is Asa Banah from his friend, he cannot use his friend's Sefer. So if Reuven, again, is not allowed to give benefit to Shimon, Shimon is also enough from Reuven, Shimon cannot use Reuven's Sefer. Taz asks, what do you mean? We have a cloud. Mitzvah is lav, lahanis anu. We said, we referenced it a couple of days ago, we referenced the Gabi Sefer, even a person who's mudra enough from his friend, he can hear the Sefer. So why by Sefer, why can't I use your Sefer if I can't get enough from you? L'chair mitzvah lahanis anu. So Taz answers, fits very well with what I'm saying in our Gemara. Taz says that since this is more back in the day, today not as common, people used to rent out their Svarim. It was uncommon to have a lot of svarim, and it was people they wanted it to be kept properly. B, it was expensive, so they used to rent out the usage of their svarim. So Taz says, you're a mitzvah takel avahasanu. But if the derech is to rent out the svarim, so when I give you the sefer and don't charge you money, I'm giving you back that rent money. That's anah, and that's the problem, which again is similar to Agamar about charging for teaching the children, for babysitting a piece of time, and that's considered anah for teaching children because of the lack of charging what's normally charged. The task is a further answer, and this opens up a huge topic within the concept of mitzvah takel avahasanu. The task says, we know the Torah tells us, Pekudei Hashem Yisharim, David Mel says, Misam Chilev. Pekudei Hashem Yisharim, Misam Chilev. We know you're not allowed on the Torah on Tisha B'Av or on other days of Avelos because it brings genuine simcha to a person. So if learning Torah brings simcha to a person, even if we say mitzvah slav hanasanu, that just means the mitzvah itself, I don't get enough from doing the mitzvah. But if there's a side enough, avanos guf, what if I do a mitzvah that's very enjoyable, it's very geschmack, right? A mitzvah of, some people love tea matzah, a mitzvah of tashmish. It's a mitzvah, you know, it's a mitzvah, right? But it's very enjoyable. You're going to say mitzvah, honest anew. There's an anah that's happening over here. Now again, you could say once there's mitzvah hanenu, that means as long as I'm engaged in a mitzvah, we don't see the overall anah because a person is, the way the Rishonim explains, it's like an eved serving the king. Even though the anah is there, no one's denying that it's there, but we don't value, we don't put a focus on the anah. But clearly, the Taz over here is suggesting that when there's a hanas haguf, a side anah, we do take into account. So yeah, the learning Torah is not anah, but the mitzvah part of it is not anah, but the geshmak and Torah, misam chilev, that exists, and therefore that would be a problem, even in borrowing his friend Sefer, if he's mudra anah, that would be an issue. But again, this obviously opens a big topic in every mitzvah slav hasanu. We have to start now analyzing, is there like a side anah? This guy loves mar, he gets a big enjoyment out of mar, out of matzah. He loves the smell of having an esrog in his hand, whatever it may be. Are you going to take into account those side on us, according to Taz? Seemingly, you would. Now, when we keep differentiating between Mikra and Medrash. So, Medrash obviously encompasses everything that's not Mikra. Medrash means Medrash, but also means, you know, Gemara, Agada, Halacha, anything that's not Mikra is going to be included in Medrash. What's Mikra? Is Mikra Hashas Chumash? Chamisha Chumash Torah? Or is Mikra the whole Tanakh? Nevi'im and Ksuvim, do they slide into Mikra or not? Shabakov, in his Mavai to Emesakov, he explains that it depends on the case. It depends on the context. In certain instances, when Chazal used the word Mikra, it refers just to Chamisha Chumash Torah. In certain instances, it refers to Tanakh, including Nevi'im and Ksuvim. So Rav Yaakov elaborates on this in this conversation, and he writes that Mikra, because sometimes, why would Mikra just mean Torah, not Tanakh? Why would Mikra mean just Torah? It's because Mikra is something special. Chamisha Chumash Torah is the direct word of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nevi'im, of course, we believe it's all Min HaShemayim, but it's all through Nevi'im, right? There's a fundamental difference between directly the word of Hashem or the word of Hashem through a Navi. Says Rav Yaakov, an afkamina could be, let's say a person doesn't know the type Pirush HaMilim. He's in shul, he's got some, I hate to use these words, he has some time to kill, as people say. He has some time on his hands, he's in shul, so what better place to be? But he doesn't know how to read Hebrew, he can read Hebrew, but he doesn't know how to translate the Hebrew. So would there be something specific that he should read? Says Rebecca, 100%. He should take a Chumash and not another Nevi'im Ksuvim or another facet of learning. Why? Because Chumash, since it's the direct word of Hashem, just reading those words, even if you don't know the translation, is considered Lima Torah. Obviously, knowing translation is a better level of Lima Torah, but it's called Lima Torah, just reading those words. But simply reading words of other facets of Torah without knowing what they mean would not be a kiyum of Lima Torah. Not learning Torah, just reading letters. It wouldn't be kiyum of Lima Torah. Dafka Mikra, meaning Chamisha Chamisha Torah. has that element. So vayit the Yaakov holds, because of this, it would be preferable when one does shnayim mikra targum to do one read through the whole parsha of just the chumash, and then go back and read chumash targum, chumash rashi, if you do, right? But read one read of just the chumash. Different discussions how to do shnayim mikra targum. Do you do, you know, pasuk by pasuk, two pasukim? You do the pasuk twice in Lash Kodesh and then Targum, and then next pasuk, or do you read sections at a time? There's been different discussions. Rabbi Yaakov suggests reading through the whole parsha to demonstrate this distinction, that in one facet, you talk of reading the pasuk with the Taich, with the Targum, with the Rashi, with the translation, and the other time you're just reading, because reading Chumash alone is Talmud Torah. Reading Chumash alone is Talmud Torah. Very interesting idea from Rabbi Yaakov about the power of the distinction of Chamish and Chumash Torah. And again, therefore, Mikra, some places means Dafka Chumash, other places can mean including Tanakh. Now, we said over here again that there's two reasons why one can potentially pay someone teaching his children. Either Schar Shimer, babysitting, or because of Schar Pisik Taimim, because of the Schar of teaching the trup. Teaching the trup, which at this point we think is drop it on. We spoke already for the run. Nafkmina is a gadol. There's no babysitting, but there is a trup, so be relevant. So the Marna is going to ask the Kasha on the mandam that it's about that the payment could be for babysitting. Tanan. Lamb then a mikra, you can't teach a mikra. Pishal the mandam is a hard piece of time. According to the mandam, it says that the reason is schar piece of time, hanid lamb denu. The reason why you can't teach mikra is because mikra has schar piece of time, that's a beichran, and that is a value. And therefore, you can't teach it to someone that you madar nagans. Elamad amr schar shimer, but according to Rav, that the issue over here was babysitting fee, gadol bashimer. He said you have two guys, Reuven cannot give benefit to Shimon. So Shimon is going to teach Reuven Torah. Reuven's a gadol. Is there babysitting going on over here? Avadanat. So why can't he teach him Torah? Says Gemara, b'katan katani. You're right. You have to see it's talking about where it was, the Mishnah talking about the person who the neder is against, the subject of the neder, was a katan. So that Reuven said he's not going to give any benefit to Shimon. Shimon is a katan. Ask the Gemara one second. What did the Mishnah say? You can't teach him, but you can teach his son and daughters. If he's a katan, he most likely doesn't have sons and daughters. Ibe katan im seifa avlamin es panav mikra. But if he's a katan, look at the seifa. You can teach his sons mikra. Katan barbanimu is a katan barbanimu. Does a katan have children that he could be discussing a neder about the katan's children? If not. So the Matzvah Tanimar says, no, Mishnah is missing words. Here's how you have to read it. Leilam tena mikra, we shouldn't teach mikra. Now, that Mishnah, that part of the Mishnah, this is not part of the Mishnah, this is an explanation. Bekatan. The first line of the Mishnah was saying that if Reuven can't give benefit to Shimon, he can't teach a mikra, and it's talking about when Shimon is a katan. And then further, these words are not in our Mishnah, but we're reading as if it says it. Im hayigadol, if the person who's the subject of the neder was a gadol, Shimon, in our case, who can't benefit, was a gadol, then malam delay ulevan mikra. You can teach him and teach his children. If he's a gadol, teaching his children is not a problem, because again, teaching him is not an issue because he's a gadol, and teaching his children is not a problem because the neder was against him. The neder wasn't against the children, so teaching the children will be fine. Meisve, ask them our question. Tinoikis lekarim betchil b'shabbes, young children should not learn initially. They shouldn't learn. Betchila means like new subject matter on Shabbos. They shouldn't learn new subject matter on Shabbos. El Sheinim Rishon. But they can chazer even for the first time. They used to learn and chazer many times over. They can learn it. And even the first chazer can be Shabbos, but the first learning cannot be Shabbos. Now, Bishlam Adamer, Schar Pisik Taimim. Again, this is right to Rabbi Yechanan. It's all good. That the issue of the Schar is Schar for the Trup. So it's great. Hanu de Inkar, Betchila B'Shabbos. If the payment is for teaching trup, the first time you teach a trup is the ikar. Afterwards, the child already has it, so you can say the ones afterwards is not really making the payment for. So it makes sense. The first time is learning the trup cannot be on Shabbos because you're teaching Shabbos on Shabbos, which is enabling you to get paid, and you can't get paid for schar Shabbos. You can't get paid for doing work on Shabbos, and therefore that's a problem. Dafka the first time. Elamad the schar shibra. But if it's always babysitting fee, what does it make a difference if it's the first time learning a subject matter or the third time? You're not taking schar for the subject matter, you're taking schar for the babysitting. Babysitting is happening regardless whether it's the first time or the third time. Elamad amar schar shimer, according to Rav, that the reason why the teacher takes payment is for the babysitting. Why can you not teach new material? And why could you, yes, chazer, either way, teaching on Shabbos and taking payment for it is babysitting fees for Shabbos. It's Schar Shimer of Shabbos. It's Schar Shimer of Shabbos. Now, I was wondering, so you're not allowed to take money for babysitting Shabbos? The short answer is no, you can't, but there are ways around it. No, you cannot. But the way the Brayta, you can't take money for a kiddush on Shabbos. You can't take money for any service on Shabbos, for laning on Shabbos. Yet, Ma'aseh B'chayim we do. What's the answer? The next Gemara. Says Gemara Tameach, one second. You're saying it's Shver Rav because why are we making a distinction between the first new material and old material? L'chayre, either way, you're babysitting is a problem on Shabbos. Ul Tameach, and according to you, that's about Schar Pisach Taimim. Schar Pisach B'Shabbos B'Yasser. Is it really Yasser to take the Schar of teaching the truck on Shabbos? I havlohi vavlah mishrashari. This is the big issur, the big heter. There's a concept called havlah. It's only an issur to take payment for Shabbos if it's clearly distinct that this payment is for Shabbos. But if it's mavlia, if you swallow up the Shabbos payment in the other payments, let's say a person has a babysitter, just a simple case, who comes and babysits 2 hours every day, and they get paid $25 a day, right? Good price. $25 a day, 2 hours every day. So for the week, they're going to be paid. They're going to be paid $150, right? My math is good? No, I'm off. $175. Thank you. For the week, you're going to be paid $175. Now, that obviously includes Shabbos. But if you don't spell out, here's 25 for Sunday, here's 25 for Shabbos, then it's okay. Here's 175 for the week. Then it's okay. It's called Havla. That's a very basic concept. The Gemara's example is going to be right along those lines. The Tanya, we learned in a Braisa, Haseicher, Esapoel, Lishmer, Esatinik. Someone who hired a poel to watch a tinik. Our example. Lishmer Esapora, to watch a cow. Lishmer Esazorim, to watch a garden. To watch a Zorim is like, you know, the stuff that's growing. Einos Neschar Shabbos. You can't give him schar for Shabbos itself. Lefikach, you can't pay for Shabbos. Lefikach, what do you do? Stamazai, you can't pay for Shabbos. And therefore, if it gets lost on Shabbos, this guy's working for free. We know if someone's working for free, he's a shemachinim. A shemachinim is only chayiv on pshia, on aynis, or aved, or gneva, he's exempt. So, imavdai, if it got lost on Shabbos, he's going to be exempt. Chas v'shalom, I don't know about the kid. But, right, that's a weird scenario. You're not paying money for that anyway. But the para, or whatever it may be, he's pater because he's only a shemachinim. He's only a shemachinim. But what if he's hired for the week, for the month, for the year, for the whole Shemitah? Then you could pay Shechar Shabbos because he'd be mavliyan inside. Now what's interesting is this example the Braisa gives is, the smallest example gives is for the week. Right? Havla is working by the week. You hired for the week, you mavliyat. Right? That's the smallest example. Week, month, year, Shemitah. That's the smallest example. We'll get back to that in a few moments in Lamaisa, but because we do Havla much less than that. Okay. Says the Braisa, now he's chayiv. Even if it gets lost on Shabbos, he's chayiv because even though you're not spelling out that you're paying for Shabbos, you are paying for Shabbos. It's just being mavliya for the rest, and therefore he has the din of Shem Besachar throughout, even on Shabbos, and therefore he's chayiv for gneiva v'aveda. So what's the question? So the Gemara's question is that you're telling me that what's pshat, you can't learn new material. If it's charshim, it shouldn't make a difference. If new material, old material, on Shabbos, it shouldn't make a difference. Either way, it's babysitting fees. And according to you, as piece of time in, why can't you take babysitting fees? Why can't you take the money as havla with the money from the teaching of the piece of time of the rest of the week? Teretz says there must be a different reason why you can't take money on Shabbos, and it's not a question on the pshat of Schar Shimer or right the pshat Pisik Tamim. It must be this a totally different consideration. So before we get to that different consideration, just let's focus for a minute on, first of all, on Avla, and then back on, in general, taking Schar for Mitzvahs. On this idea of Avla, it seems like for our Gemara, the heter is that he's on a contract for a week. Therefore, it's mutter. There's even, the Gefreshim goes so far as to discuss, let's say the example we gave, a person is being paid $25 per day, and it's clear that there's $25 for Shabbos. The only way Havlo works, I want to say, is if the commitment was for a full week. So, meaning, I can't stop on Friday, then it's part of a full commitment for a week, then, or let's say the week started Tuesday, I can't stop till the next Monday, I'm committed, if I fire the person, I got to pay him for the full week, then we have Havlo. But if I'm able to stop at any time, invite it when it works, because you need to have it really be swallowed up. That's how some learn. But the anhaga of most people today, you know, the Balkura prepares. He gets paid for the preparation he does before Shabbos. Sometimes the Balkura is only preparing Shabbos. The person who's coming to run a Shabbos program in the morning in shul, right? Coming to babysitting program in the morning in shul, very common. Or Shabbos afternoon perichik. They don't necessarily prepare before. They come. Hopefully they prepare a little bit. It'll be nice if they prepare, but they don't necessarily prepare. So what are you paying them for? And even if they do prepare, they prepare for a few minutes before Shabbos. A waiter who comes to work on Shabbos, from waiter, a Jewish waiter comes to work on Shabbos. if he does anything, he may just come just to see the address, to see the layout, to put some stuff down before Shabbos, but he's not necessarily doing much before Shabbos, so he's not hired for the week. So there's Chai Adam, a major Chai Adam, who says very clearly that even though the Lashon Aveir is schar for the week, Lav Dafka, as long as you do anything before Shabbos, as long as you do something else before or after outside Shabbos, Havla still works. Havla works as long as there's something outside Shabbos. It doesn't have to be an equal setup, a full structure where it's clear that it's part of a whole weekly payment or the like. No, as long as you do something, and that's the Chirot Tevelt is Saimachan, because most Havlas today are a caterer is much easier, because a caterer, he's obviously preparing all the food before Shabbos. So that's hours and a lot of time and effort and labor all before Shabbos. That's great. But a lot of other jobs are primarily done on Shabbos itself. As long as there's something outside Shabbos, you could still have the idea of Havlah. Again, we're saying on this Chayadim. Going back on the prior Gemara, we said that a person could teach his Chumash to the fellow himself, according to Rav, that it's only about babysitting. If he made an eder, Reuven can't give benefit to Shimon, so he can't teach Shimon if Shimon's a child. But if Shimon's an adult, he can teach him. There's no babysitting issue. And also, if Shimon, as an adult, has children, he can teach children as well. Rashba says, if someone in the street goes over and teaches my son Torah, can he go then and charge me and say, I did a service. I taught you the Torah. I want to charge you a fee. Rashba brings back for a word that he can't. Because if you're allowed to automatically charge for teaching someone Torah, how could our Gemara say that as long as no babysitting, it's not a problem of Anna? If you'd be able to give some sort of fee, some sort of bill for teaching Torah, then L'chaira, Reuven is giving Shimon by teaching his child by not charging him that bill that he could charge. It must be that you cannot charge for teaching Torah at all. Must be. From Gemara, it's clear that, again, the Gemara seems to be pretty clear anyway, only for babysitting, only for piece of time. But when you're teaching a child Torah, if you stop to go teach someone Torah, you cannot just automatically go and charge money, because otherwise there would be Hana in our Gemara. I was saying that it's Tamazai, no Hana. The Rama in Chesha Mishpah. Now, if I ask you to, and you're charging for babysitting fees, that's the upmach, that's fine. But without an upmach, says the Rashba, without any agreement, you can't just stop charge. The Rama Chesha Mishpah calls the Rashba and says he clearly can't charge without any prior arrangement. He can't just charge. But he brings the Mordechai and says he can. The Mordechai argues says he can. The Shach asks, what does the Mordechai do to Gemara? So the Sefer Beis Hillel wants to suggest that really it's going to be totally in like a minhag hamakom. If there's a standard in a community that they charge for tutoring, for teaching children, then in the Chami, a person would be able to charge for such a service. A person could charge only where it's clear, either that's not the minig, or it was understood that he's doing it for the mitzvah, he's not doing it to charge, then he can't charge. The Mordechai will learn, our Gemara means the case where this Mudr Anar, Reuven, says, I can't give it out to Shimon. He was saying he's allowed to teach Shimon Torah because there's no babysitting for Shimon. And he can teach him his son's Torah. That's talking about where the standard was to teach without taking money. So that's why he could do it. But if the standard was to teach without taking money, then he still wouldn't be able to teach Shimon's children because that would be giving him a benefit. What about other mitzvahs? Is this Dafka mitzvah? We're focused very much on Talmud Torah. What about when it comes to other mitzvahs? What's the halacha there about taking schar, taking payment for a mitzvah? So I think we referenced this a couple of days ago. Adaf Lama Gimel. The Eben Azel brings from Rambam, we had an idea in our Mishnah of taking schar for turning an Aveda. It's a schar for Hashavas Aveda. And Rambam brings that normally, well, it does not take schar for turning an Aveda, but we clearly see in our Mishnah, in Mak Mishnagu, you can. So the Eben Azel explains that, Enechrami, Rambam is of the opinion that only Talmud Torah or Paskini Halacha is one not allowed to take money for. Other mitzvahs, if the derech is to take payment for it, you can take payment for a mitzvah. It's not a problem taking payment for a mitzvah, like Hashavas Aveda, where the minis take payment. If the minis not take payment, then that's just a dollar value. People don't take payment for this, so I can't charge. But if the minis take payment, you can take payment for other mitzvahs. The Beis Meir in Ar Chaim, Simit Tavkuf Pehei, asks, why is the Baal Tekeah allowed to take payment for blowing shofar on Rosh Hashanah, it's a mitzvah. So he brings an answer for the Gemara Kedushin Daf Min Ches. The Gemara Kedushin Mitzvah talk over there about the process of Par Aduma. And it says over there that the people of Par Aduma cannot get paid, but the ones schlepping the water, schlepping the ashes, schlepping the pails, they can get paid. And Rashi explains, well, that's a tircha. It's not necessarily part of the mitzvah itself. I mean, it's necessary to be done, but it's an outside, it's an external, extra, or I shouldn't say external. It's a tircha, Rashi says, and because of the tircha, therefore it's permissible. So, says the Beis Meir, it seems from Rashi, from the Gemara Kedushin, that when the mitzvah has tirchas involved, such as perfecting the breathing, the sounds, the shape, you gotta prepare, has tircha involved, one could charge money, and therefore and I'm charging stamzai for a mitzvah, you're not allowed to, but charging for the tircha involved in the mitzvah, that's allowed. Others are not so excited. They want to say that, no, that kind of the words we used before, that by schlepping the pail of water or the pail of ashes by the paraduma, it was external to the mitzvah b'chlal. Maybe you needed to go from place to place, but your delivery service, that wasn't part of the mitzvah. That's why you can take schar. That's Rashi, not the tircha, else tircha. That goes every time there's tircha, you take schar. It's the tircha that's not part of the mitzvah. But if it's mamish part of the mitzvah, then maybe you wouldn't be able to take schar. That's a shayla. But again, the base mayor brings that it's already a very common practice till today, that people are paid for these services, such as being about to get, even though it's a mitzvah. And the reasoning is, he gives over there, is because there's tircha involved, you paid for your efforts, for your tircha, in your preparation, in making yourself ready for the shayfer. Okay, but back to our Gemara. So we're saying that you can't learn Torah with the child, a new topic on Shabbos. Old topic, yes. Question is why? If it's not about babysitting, that's clearly that babysitting makes no difference, and even not about piece of time, and because we have the Heter of Havla, so why can't you learn a new topic on Shabbos? Says Gemara, Ella. So what's the pshat? Gabi Shabbos. How many times a day in Karmat Chila? Why can't you learn Shabbos new topic? Mishum de yifnu avasein di yinuka le mitzvah of Shabbos. Unbelievable. So the fathers can do the mitzvah of Shabbos with their children, meaning they can spend time with their children. This sounds like a modern day thing, that it's such a beautiful time to spend time for Shabbos with your family. It's supposed to just be a dehaven of time, yishadam alacha. But it's brought down in this Gemara, very clear. That part of the idea of Shabbos is spending time, fathers with children, spending time with family. And if he's going to be busy learning new material, the main first explain is, Bishlam, if they're learning old material, the chazering. Okay, so there won't be as much of a pressure for the child. Notice they had school on Shabbos. But there won't be so much of a pressure for the child to go back to the base medrash, or to Melamed, to go learn. It won't be such a pressure because it's not new material. But to miss new material, it'll be too much of a pressure, and it'll detract from the quality time that the father is spending with the children on Shabbos. Or another reason why you don't learn new material on Shabbos, it's a practical issue. On Shabbos, you eat and drink more than usual. The yakir aleim alma. And literally means the world is heavy. It means that they're a little bit, you know, drained. People always like they need that Shabbos nap because you eat a big Friday night meal, a big Shabbos lunch. It just it weighs a person down, and therefore it's difficult to engage in new material. Amar Shmuel, shin invest chilos chamayim. Changing one's habits, changing one's regular routine, is the beginning of a stomach illness. Meaning, changing the routine is your stomach illness. There, once a week, we change our routine, the way we eat. And therefore, difficult on that day to be learning new stuff, and therefore we avoid new stuff on that day. So the reason not to teach children new learning on Shabbos is nothing to do with babysitting or piece of time. It has to do with either we don't want to stuff the children away from their family, or it's too difficult because the children are weighed down. That shinives feels chamayim. It's interesting. There's a yaivitz, Rav Yaakov Emden, in the this unbelievable idea he brings in the Siddur Yaivitz. He writes that one should not learn be'ian on Shabbos. One of them is being Shabbos. It's like a form of Chil Shabbos. Stress comes out. You understand now how Rabbi Yaakov Emden learned the Ian Zugah. But that's what I took out of it. But one of them is being Shabbos. It's a form of Chil. And the Achorinim strongly disagree. They tie into that. Ain't Einig Shabbos. God was that sitting and learning Gishmak and being able to focus and get into the Tifa Gemara with B'Shainim and Achorinim learning Ian. What's more Gishmak than that? That's not what we call a Tircha. Or a strenuous, that's a geshmaka, enjoyment. And therefore, Adrabah, one should. But it's interesting, it really relates to Rebecca Gundern's idea, relates to our Gemara here. Okay. Well, the Gemara asks now, according to the opinion, that the reason, Rebbe Yechanan, who says the reason why you charge money for mikra is because piece of time, my time will amar schar shimer. Why didn't he say the reason of shimer? Why didn't he say taka babysitting? Is that a simple reason? Because Savar, we already pointed out, babysitting doesn't work for adults. Schar piece of time, it works for adults. But the Mara says a very similar answer. Kasavar, banis mikav ben shimer. Unbelievable. Daughters, we told my children that are of age to learn. So daughters, they're of age to be taught, they don't need babysitting. Boys are wild, they need more supervision. Girls, once they reach a certain age, don't really need such supervision, and therefore you can't use the excuse of paying for babysitting. You have to use some other excuse. Excuse means some other reason for giving payments, therefore you went to piece of time. What is clear over here is we're talking about daughters learning, even with piece of time. Daughters learning. So Rambam brings that we have a mission site that says a person who teaches his daughter Torah is ki'ilum lam the tiflis, as if he's teaching her foolish things. You're not supposed to teach your daughter Torah. Here we're talking about clearly about taking money, payments for teaching daughters. So Rama makes a distinction. It depends. Teresh b'chsav, teresh b'peh. Teresh b'chsav, one can teach the daughters. Teresh b'peh, one should not teach the daughters. That is Rambam's answer. Taz says that the source of the Rambam is not really Agamara. Source of Rambam is the mitzvah of Hakel. Hakel was bring all the children to Hakel, including daughters, including Anashim, Anashim Vataf. But Anashim also come to Hakel. Anashim to Hakel must be, when it comes to reading for the Torah itself, Anashim are also involved in that mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and therefore, that's the Taz's source for Rambam. Bottom line is, as opposed to Agamara. By the way, it's saying that Anashim are involved in Torah Shabbat Saf, just not Torah Shabbat Pam. Okay, so that's more further now. L'man damer tzchar pisuk, tzchar shimer. The one says that's babysitting fees. My time l'man tzchar pisuk timeim. Why don't you say that tzchar pisuk timeim? Because he holds. This is what we referenced before. We said, I said there must be chayzer. I shouldn't have said there must be chayzer. Rav is going to argue, and Rav says, pisuk timeim deraisi. Rav holds pisuk timeim is deraisa, and therefore you can't tell me you're teaching, you're taking payment. If you can't take payment for Torah, you can't take payment for pisuk timeim. If it's also deraisa, it's also part of Torah, you can't take payment. What's the source of pisuk timeim deraisa? And this will take us to the end of the daf. Damar. Rav Yitka Bar Avin really is going to open up into Agata Gemara to Baruch Hashem Agata. Amar Yitka Bar Avin, Amar Chana or Rav. My text speaker say for Peteris like him, Mifayrish Vesum Seichel Vivina Mimik Mikra. We Tarish the Pasuk as follows. Vivina say for Peteris like him, Zeh Mikra. Mifayrish Zeh Targum. It's a reference to the Targum of Chumash. Vesum Seichel Elu Pesukim. This division of the various Pesukim separating the Pesukim. Vivina by Mikra. That piece of timeim. That is piece of time. It's a reference already in the Navi to piece of timeim. For Amila, some say Elu Amaseris. These are the Maseris about the spellings and the way words are either written and not pronounced or spoken out even though they're not written, as we'll see in the next Gemara. All right, but the point is, for our purposes, piece of timeim was already in that list. So Elu's piece of timeim is already Daraisa. All right, it's like Mikra Seifrim, the way the Seifrim pronounce words, the Itur Seifrim, or the Itur Seifrim means like the words that were written in the Navi with a little more embellishment, for lack of a better word, like for like stylistic purposes. For Kyron, like Sivan, the case where words are written but not, Kyron means the red, for like Sivan but not written, or opposite, Sivan like Kyron, or the written but not read, all of those are Halacha L'Meisha B'Sinai. Mikra Seifrim, what does that mean? What's an example? Eretz, right? Meaning, it could be sometimes read as Aretz with a comma, sometimes as Eretz with a segel, depending on, that's the Seferim teach us, which is where. Same similarly, Shemayim and as or Mitzrayim, they could be Shemayim or Shemayim, Mitzrayim or Mitzrayim. Which way to pronounce it is, that is all part of the Mikra Seferim. Yitur Seferim, what's the stylistic part of the Seferim? Achar Tavairu, Achar Telech. In the Pesukim over there, it says, Achar Tavairu, after you should pass. It could just said, Tavairu, Vitavairu, this happens, and then you'll pass. Or Vitelech, and then she'll go. What's Achar Telech? Achar Teyasef, another example. Or Kid Musharim, Achar Noignim. So all these examples have to be with the word Achar, with the word after. It will be clear in the context of the word Achar, that it means Achar. It's being stuck in for more, not just for information, but more for the, it just is stylistic. Or, Kascha, Kehare Kel. So this is interesting. The kaf of kahari is actually could have just said tzkascha, hari kel, and I don't mean your tzkascha, your righteous Hashem is like the mighty mountains, but is like the kahari el, I should say, like el in that context means mighty. So your tzkascha, your righteousness is like the mighty mountains. Even without the kaf of kir, it would be self-explanatory. Tzkascha, hari el, your righteousness is like mighty mountains, but we stuck in the kir for stylistic purposes. Karin, like see, what a case of words that are read but not written, pras the belechtai, ish the kasha yishal, ish the brother kim. Both of those are psukim in Shmuel. Baim the nivisa, the baim of nivisa, that's already in Yirmiyahu, and la the pleita again, oh, that's also in Yirmiyahu. Es de hugad, hugad, the word es of hugad, hugad is also an extra, a word that is again written, read, even though it's not written there, and a couple more. Eli dehagayran, Eli dehasayrim, hauling karmelik zivin. This list are all cases that are read, even though the words aren't actually written in the psukim there. Opposite, kisvam leikaryan, cases where it's written but not read. Na de yislach, the word na yislach, that is a pasuk in Malachim. Tapa of amches ben aleph. Zeis dehamitzvah, the word zeis of a mitzvah. Yidreich dehadirich. That's by the way in Chumash. That's in Dvarim. Yidreich dehadirich. Chamesh de pas negav im de chigayel halan kesim lekaren. All these less examples in Yecheskel, in Yirmia, and in Rus are other cases of psukim that are words that are read, are written, but are not read. Okay, so pause over here. Just one major point. We need to get to, come up again in ensuing daf. But Lamaisa, we're coming out pretty clear that you can't take schar for teaching Torah. Yeah, you have babysitting schar. You have a piece of time in. But clearly, we have children above the age of babysitting, and they're not learning trap anymore, and they're still taking payment. The most basic idea, the guy be taking money for learning, is the most basic answer is Eis Lassus and Hashem if you serve Zechadet. And Echnami, even if the Ikra did, we're not allowed to take money from teaching Torah. So there's other examples we're going to have coming up in a couple of off now. The idea of Schar Bitta Malacha, they could be doing other work, and because of Bitta Malacha and other work, taking Schar for that. But even without that, there's a concept of Eis Lassus and Hashem if you serve Zechadet, and that alone allows that without this, Torah wouldn't be able to exist, we wouldn't have to go on. And that's the whole basis for paying for Kalo. That's mamash taking money just for seeing and learning. That's the basis for many things like that. Post-appear, have a wonderful day.